62 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The House rejects the Republican-led effort to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Four Republicans voted against the measure. CBS's Scott McFarland.
It changed this Congress. This is the first time in 20 years here I've seen the Republicans, or the majority, put bills on the floor that aren't certain to win. They thought they had the numbers to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, making him the second ever U.S. cabinet member to be impeached, and they came up short.
A Michigan jury has found a school shooter's mother guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the deaths of four students in 2021. Prosecutors say Jennifer Crumbly had a duty under Michigan law to prevent her son, who was 15 at the time, from harming others. Craig Schilling, the father of victim Justin Schilling, says Crumbly was responsible.
There's a lot of stuff that could have easily thwarted this whole thing. It could have stopped, and stopped very easily.
A three-judge federal appeals panel in D.C. upholds a lower court decision denying former President Trump absolute immunity from federal prosecution. It would allow the criminal case regarding Trump's alleged efforts to illegally overturn the 2020 election to proceed. CBS's Jan Crawford.
He can ask the full Court of Appeals to reconsider this, or he can skip that step and just go straight to the Supreme Court. But having lost at every turn, I mean, I think that is a long shot. I don't see how he's going to get five votes from the Supreme Court if they decide to take up this case. And if they do, I still think we're looking at a trial possibly late spring or early summer.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Border Patrol agents have arrested four migrants suspected of being part of a recent highly publicized assault on New York City police officers. ICE says they were headed to a Phoenix bus station, apparently fleeing New York. A government report finds missing and damaged parts on the Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9, where a door plug blew out in midair.
The NTSB's preliminary report on the January 5th incident where the door plug blew off the side of the plane finds evidence of missing bolts and damaged rivets. FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker says the agency will have more of a surveillance component,
where inspectors are actually on the ground talking to people and looking at the work that's being done.
Boeing CEO says the company is accountable for what happened and is taking immediate action to strengthen quality. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
More platforms are adding AI labels. CBS's Matt Piper.
Google had already announced that AI labels are coming to YouTube and its other platforms. Now, Meta says the same thing will happen for Facebook and Instagram users. A made by AI type label to make it easier to identify real images and eventually video and audio.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. senators are split on a bill to increase border security and provide aid for Ukraine and Israel. Democrat Tammy Baldwin says she has concerns but plans to vote for it. Republican Ron Johnson says he's against it. The Senate holds a procedural vote Wednesday. Experts say expanding the child tax credit would lift as many as 400,000 American kids above the poverty line in 1 year. Chris Cox is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Half of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $600 or more from the bill. And about 40% of kids who don't get the full credit now, their families will gain $1,000 or more from this bill.
A bill to receive the expanded credit passed the U.S. House last week. Final adoption is not guaranteed. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers making more coaching changes. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers making moves on their defensive coaching staff after firing Joe Barry and hiring Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley. Gone are linebackers coach Kirk Olivandotti and defensive back coach Greg Williams. They have hired a new defensive line coach, Vince Ogabasi, replacing Jerry Montgomery, who had held that position since 2015. Ogabasi has connections to the 49ers and served with the Packers' new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, at Boston College. Last night at Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes asked about his father's most recent arrest in Texas over the weekend, charged with drunk driving.
It's a family matter, so I'll just just keep it to the family, and that's all I really have to say at this point.
It's his father's third offense. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks road trip winding down. They're in Phoenix against the Suns tonight. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers slipped from 6th to 11th ranked in the nation after those back-to-back losses. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy and mild with lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more clouds around and warm again with highs in the low 50s and becoming breezy. Rain ahead for Thursday, even some thunder. Highs again in the low 50s, but turning much colder as we look towards Friday and into the weekend. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. So great to have you with me on a Tuesday night. We are broadcasting statewide live from our studios in Green Bay at WGBW at beautiful City Deck Landing. That was really a fun conversation with Todd Michaels, and we definitely have to have him back because it was just getting good. And then we had to say goodbye, but we got a lot of stuff coming up on the show here. In just a minute, I'm going to talk to Chris Opper. He is the director of the Door County Short Film Festival. And then at 9:35 from the show Bosch on Prime, Amazon Prime, actor Scott Clase joins me at 9:35. So we got some more texts from the 920. Jim from Appleton clarified when things were moved around. The strangest thing is that they always wound up in my travel bag, an old backpack that I kept in the closet. Okay. So that's a ghost that helps you pack. That's good. The 920 Annie from Watertown says Highcliff Park. Oh, I think that was probably intended for Todd. Annie, when we have Todd back, you definitely need to text that in and we will ask him about that. But thank you. Any suggestion, really, that you want Todd to either investigate or just ask him about, please share because we will have him on again. From the 920, it hung on because you never took the shot of bitters. That's also geared towards Todd. He says he brought a ghost back with him from Washington Island. And if he had done a shot of bitters, the ghost wouldn't have followed him. Pete asked Todd about his pockets full of crystals. I will not, because you're one of Todd's friends. You also wanted me to ask him about the cat. I believe there's a lot of innuendo, Conrad, in some of these geared
Definitely.
Toward our friend our friend Todd. And since they're friends, he could just ask him. So again, Jim from the 920. Yes, I asked why in my backpack. All I got back was a laugh. Not mean, just fun loving. A prankster ghost. Well, why wouldn't they? Yeah. This is Annie. This is Todd's partner. Okay. This is Annie from the 920. She says on Amazon, Haunted State, Todd Michaels. I'm literally going to watch that tonight when I get home. 608 Rico from Rock County says, I love Door County. Same Rico. And he says, now I'm not going to. I think he means Washington Island, but I love Door County. And then he says, I stutter. How do you stutter in a text? Rico managed to do it. Well done, Rico. And then from the 920, edible undies, ? Yeah. What do you got against edible undies? They're high in fiber. They have protein. They taste good. Don't make it weird. Okay?
What kind of flavor is it though?
It doesn't matter. They're all good. Kiwi, guava. They're delicious. You don't have to eat them off of someone. You just make a nice little casserole. Add some rice, some nutmeg. Nutmeg? All right, whatever. Okay, let's get back to the show. Thanks so much for your text, you guys. These are great. I love when people participate. You can still get in on the question. Tonight's question is, do you believe in ghosts? And you're welcome to share your experience with us as well at 844-967-2789. Please join the show, and you can ask questions about the Door County Film Festival. Because my guest right now is joining me in the studio. I'm very excited to have him here. He is the director of the Door County Short Film Festival, Chris Opper. Chris, how are you?
I am good. Thank you very much. Ooh,
There you go. A little closer. You made the long drive from the suburbs.
All the way. Yeah.
Into Green Bay, into downtown Green Bay. That's exciting. And do you believe in ghosts?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all. You're not even open to the idea.
Oh, no. I want somebody to prove it to me.
Yeah.
I've heard stories. I've heard people tell me. I want to see something. We used to challenge ourselves in high school, like kind of thing. Go out to, you know, some deserted place that was supposed to be
somewhere
haunted
creepy.
And what I never saw a thing. So
okay. See, don't you worry, aren't you worried though, like if you do that? See, I don't have the cocky attitude you do, because if I feel like if I went out to a secluded, creepy place, God would send a ghost there just to freak me out, to give me an attitude adjustment.
I think you can tell yourself that you're going to see something, and you will see something, or you will hear something.
That's what I'm afraid of too.
That's where your brain.
Yeah. Kinda,
and you know, I want to see something really crazy. And
tell me where you'll be. I'll line something up. We'll figure this out. Hey, so welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about the Door County Short Film Festival.
We are going to be doing our 15th festival. Nice. On the 16th and 17th. Of February.
Okay.
Looking forward to it. I say this every year, and I will keep saying it until it doesn't make sense to say it. The movies get better and better and better every single year.
Why is that? Is that because you're more disseminating, or the filmmakers get better? What do you attribute to that?
I honestly attribute it to technology making it easier to make movies.
Okay, so, better cameras.
Yeah, cameras are better. Equipment. The audio is better. So they're looking better. They're sounding better. But I really, truly believe that is helping people to concentrate more on good stories, entertaining things, you know, just telling a good story.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that's, to me, the challenge has always been with indie films, at least 30 years ago, 20 years ago. You're right. It was the sound. It's like, even if you have good actors, you just don't want the production to take away from the story at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because sound and I think it's sound and lighting probably in independent films are probably the two most important and the two hardest to do if you don't know
Absolutely.
What you're doing. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is coming up. It's next weekend. Are there a theme to your festivals? Like when you put on a festival, do you try to, how many films do you have first of all?
This year it's 27 movies. And we are a short film festival, but we accept feature lengths.
Okay.
And this year we were really lucky and ended up with 3 features. And then we have 22 short films. Did I do the math right?
You're asking the wrong guy. Yeah, that sounds about right. So I know you have one film, Love and Irony, by John Bezek. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. I actually know John. I met him at film festivals.
Oh, nice.
And he sent me a copy of his film about a few months ago. Very nicely done.
Can I come back? Great. No, I haven't met him yet, so I'm really looking forward to meeting
him.
Oh,
yeah, he's a great guy. And I enjoyed his film. I thought the production value was great. He got really good actors, and it's just kind of a sweet story. Yeah.
That movie blew me away.
Yeah.
I love rom-coms.
Yeah.
And when I saw the trailer for his and it said, we're bringing back the American rom-com, I'm just like, I think that's what it says.
Oh, wow.
But it says,
that's a bold statement.
We are bringing it back. And I watched the movie and just like immediately was like, damn, you did it.
Yeah. It's an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. So what is the theme this year?
Incidentally, it's a lot of love.
Really? Okay.
That movie is Love and Irony. We have another feature called Puppy Love. That's going to be on Friday night.
Puppy Love.
Puppy Love.
Was that on TV?
No, I don't think so. It's a documentary about a woman had like a litter of puppies that they had all gone. They had problems with their legs.
You mean her dog had a litter of puppies, not the one, just to clarify.
Yes.
Okay.
Her dog had a litter of puppies, and they couldn't walk. They took them to the vet, and the vet said, you got to put them down. You don't, when this happens, it happens a lot. You just put them down. And a group of women got together and said, absolutely not. we are going to bring these puppies back. And they did.
That's pretty cool.
Fantastic movie.
How do you just say you have to put them? Like, I could never be that guy. Like, how do you know they're not getting some enjoyment out of their life?
Yeah.
Just because they can't use their, I mean, that's a serious, for lack of a better word, crutch. But how do you know they're not experiencing love and enjoying life? That's a bold thing to say. You got to put them down.
Animal, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I've been in the situation of having a vet say, you know, you need to, and we didn't, and it was okay. The animal got better. The cat, in that situation. And I've been on the other side a couple of times too, where it's like, it's time. You just know.
Yeah.
When it's your animal, you know.
Yeah, that's different. When they've lived a long life, yeah. Sure.
And, but like with that one, these are puppies, and it was just women that just kind of said, I refuse to give up.
Well, that fits with your theme. Cool. They just put them down. Then it's like, really, love? Okay.
When that one came in, I had a film festival meeting, and I met with the board, and I said, this movie about these puppies that, that premise. And the eyes of were kind of like nervous, and they went, do the puppies live? Because if the puppies don't make it, I don't want to watch this movie.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very, you got a feel good film festival and people walk out of there. That would. My guest is Chris Opper. He is the director of the Door County Short Film Festival, joining me in studio right now. So you have three feature length films. And same theme, I would assume. Are they all rom-com?
The third one is called, the third feature is called Love Differently.
Okay.
And this is a woman that was adopted. And as she grew older in life, she wanted to meet her original family. Oh. And she kept trying to reach out. And the state would say, no, you know, they signed a form saying they don't want, they don't want to know who you are.
Oh, my gosh.
And she just kept trying and kept trying. And then when she finally did find somebody that was willing to reach out to the family accepted, and they absolutely loved her. And
I'm glad they did.
And that's another fantastic. Both of those are documentaries, and that's going to be our Friday night shows.
Okay, and those are feature length?
Both of them, yeah.
Can people still get tickets for next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Through the Northern Sky website.
Okay.
Northern Sky is our new home.
Fish Creek.
In Fish Creek. It's the Gould Theater. It's known as Northern Sky Gould Theater.
Okay.
NorthernSkyTheater.com is where
NorthernSkyTheater.com. Okay. Or you can Google Gould Theater. It's in Peninsula State Park, right?
Yep.
Fish Creek. Okay. All right, cool. So coming up next, I'm going to ask Chris why film festivals are so important. So ruminate on that. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. The sunshine, take me to another place in my life, where everything is beautiful. And no one should need no sun.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
What's on your to-do list? Check your mail? Get groceries? How about getting your annual vaccines? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. Because we've got you. With local vaccine events and access to transportation, protecting yourself and your loved ones is not a chore anymore.
You've got this.
A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging. Funded by the U.S. Administration for Community Living through a grant to U.S. Aging. Learn more at yougotthis.usaging.org.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You've been Rickrolled. It is the Master's birthday today, Rick Astley. You know, he made that video, which was really popular, and he's singing, and it's a fine song. I like it. It's catchy, but why would they have him dance in that video? You know, there are millions of dancers all over America looking for gigs. You could have just had him standing there like Robert Plant in that awesome video, Addicted to Love, and he had dancers around him. And Rick Astley, God bless him. I mean, look, he danced. He felt good. He was feeling the music, but not a great dancer.
Pete, do you want to know a fact about that video?
Do I?
It is that video on YouTube has over 1 billion views now.
A bill?
But also that it's the most copied link on YouTube history because people want to Rickroll people so much.
You got a Rickroll. Have you been Rickrolled, Chris?
Well, yeah. I have a 14-year-old son.
Tortures you with Rick Astley videos?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just randomly all of a sudden. You just
If my
there,
kid...
There he is.
If my kid Rickrolled me on a daily basis, you know what I would say? I would say, look, you're lucky you didn't grow up when I grew up because there'd be a serious beating involved here. But I'm evolved and I'm a good guy. I would never do that. But your kid sounds like a Sprite?
Yeah. He grew up with my sense of humor. So,
you deserve it.
Is what you're saying.
what goes wrong comes
around. Absolutely taught him.
That is the voice of my guest, Chris Upper, who is the director and shady parent of, he is the director of the Door County Short Film Festival, which takes place next weekend. You can find tickets at the Northern Sky Theater in Peninsula State Park, but they can go to the website for Northern Sky Theater.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. So what films are you most excited about this year?
I'm going to be honest with you. Love and Irony is the one that's going to blow everybody away.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll be sure and relay that because John will be here tomorrow night. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would love to hear that.
Yeah. We've got some really fantastic films. As I was telling you as I walked in here, I didn't bring my piece of paper with me. So I'm going to be like,
drove all the way from Door County.
All the way. And I'm like, oh, that's sitting on my desk. So, like, without them right in front of me, it's really hard to, like, to pull them out.
I'm going
to
keep asking you questions about each individual film just to watch you sweat.
I'm the worst director of film festival.
Oh, you're doing fine. All right. So how important, I kind of teased this before the break, why are film festivals so important?
It's one of those events or venues that people can use. If you want to make a movie, it doesn't matter if you went to film school, if you have a background or whatever, if you have an idea, you have a story in your head, you want to make this movie, film festivals is where you can get your stuff shown and seen by other people. And then you can also meet like-minded people who can tell you, you got a great idea, here's where you may have fallen short.
Right.
Or you have no background, you are an amazing filmmaker already. Just keep going. You know, I mean, it's a great place to meet other people that have ideas that you want to.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Meet somebody that you're like, hey, I need a cinematographer.
You good can place meet to network.
It's a good networking.
I think also, I mean, think about like 40 years ago or before. There's probably a time when Sundance was one of the only film festivals. So you make this independent film, you never have the opportunity to see it with an audience. That's what I love about film festivals. I love that there are so many because
That means that amateur filmmakers get to see their work with an audience. I think that is a magical experience, because if you just make a film and you show it to your friends or you submit it to MGM or whatever, the odds of anyone ever seeing it are so remote.
Yeah.
But even if that's all you ever do is show it at a festival, it's a really cool event. It's like a little movie premiere, and you get feedback from regular people. Like you said, you get to network and meet other filmmakers. Some of my best friends I've met at film festivals, yep. and we just connected immediately. So that's a great answer. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I came out of film school, and it was in like 97, 98. Like, it was like digital was still kind of new.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I feel like I was in kind of a really fun time of getting into it because of the, you know, it wasn't readily available to you yet.
Yeah.
So film festivals weren't that big of a deal yet at that time. And I was living in Nashville, Tennessee, and I went to a few film nights. They weren't even called like festivals. Like, they had the Nashville Film Festival, and but like mostly it was like coffee houses and stuff like that. People just watch, you know,
singers probably, I would imagine.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Yeah. A lot of music videos back in the day.
Yeah.
And then I moved back here to Wisconsin, where I'm from. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, I'm going to move to this place that where, you know, there are no film festivals. There are no, you know. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
The Wildwood Film Festival was getting started when I moved back here.
Okay.
And I love those guys. I love what they were doing.
Yeah, you got Wildwood, Waiwega, Green Bay, you guys, Madison, Milwaukee, Driftless.
Yeah.
Now
they're everywhere.
They're
and
everywhere.
You can't get enough. It's,
yeah.
It's like, okay, so you got Netflix. You got, you know, all your streaming stuff at home.
Right.
Which I really don't like. I don't like TV. I don't like just being able to okay, I'll watch this.
Don't you like that?
I'm from the era of like, I love movie theaters. I have like a hole in my heart because there are no rental stores anymore.
Mm.
I loved going through the stores and just cruising the shelves and looking for that one movie that's gonna make my life better tonight.
But don't you think it's easier to put on weight if you just sit on your couch and scroll? Isn't that kind of the same thing? All right, I've got probably time for one more question here. I'll let you answer this.
Okay.
What is the indie film scene like here in Wisconsin, and what's the best film festival you've ever, or the film you've ever seen at your festival?
The best movie I've seen
at the Door County
Short Film Festival was a movie from Ireland called Bridge.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's two guys meet on a bridge, and it's too small for them to pass each other, so they are just kind
Fight.
Of staring each other down. It starts where they're being cordial to each other. Hey, you go. And then they get mad at each other, and then like there's like they're honking horns at each other, and it's the most simple premise.
That's so great.
Simply done, but I don't know, that one I just love.
Well, keep up the great work. I wish you luck with this year's festival. It sounds great. Keep up, keep showing these films. That's so important for communities and for artists. And I applaud you.
Well, thank you.
And come back again when you come back next year.
Yeah.
When Love and Irony 2 is about to play at your festival,
absolutely,
all right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. That's Chris Opper. He's the director of the Door County Short Film Festival. You can still get tickets. Go to the Northern Sky Theater's website. And film festivals are great. I encourage you to go if you've never seen one or never been to one. Coming up next, Scott Klase from the show Bosch. It's the 10th anniversary of Bosch today. We're celebrating it with one of its really talented cast members. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. So just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel good creeping up on you. So just dance, dance, dance. Come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio
CBS
Show.
CBS News Brief. House Republicans failed to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over border policy after a small group of Republicans defect. Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern of Massachusetts.
I would say it's a clown show, but that would be a disservice to actual working clowns.
A jury in Michigan finds Jennifer Crumbly, the mother of a teen who killed four students at his high school in 2021, guilty of involuntary manslaughter. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The criminal prosecution against the mother is a window into what is ultimately going to happen to the father. The mother claimed that I'm not a gun person. I don't know how to even use guns.
Iranian-backed Houthi militants conduct multiple anti-ship ballistic missile attacks in the southern Red Sea and Gulf of Aden. U.S. Central Command says a missile caused minor damage but no injuries to a Greek-owned and operated ship. A second missile impacted the water, and a third was shot down by the USS Laboon. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's U.S. Representative Mike Gallagher was one of four Republicans to join Democrats in voting down impeaching U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Republicans tried to impeach Mayorkas over his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. The other five Republican representatives from Wisconsin voted for impeachment Monday night. Wisconsin lawmakers are taking steps to stop artificial intelligence from influencing this year's elections. A bill in the assembly would mean a $1,000 fine on political ads that use AI but don't disclose it.
I think it's very important that people be able to trust what they see and what they hear, and that's why we want to have a simple disclaimer on the campaign ad so people know when artificial intelligence is being used.
Representative Adam Nealon tells WISN-TV's Up Front he expects the bill to become law this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy and mild with lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more clouds around and warm again with highs in the low 50s and becoming breezy. Rain ahead for Thursday, even some thunder. Highs again in the low 50s, but turning much colder as we look towards Friday and into the weekend. It's 42 right now.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Plowing through a Tuesday night, broadcasting statewide, live from our WGBW studios in beautiful downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. Great to have you with me on a Tuesday night. This has been a fun show talking ghosts. Got a couple more texts here from the 608, pardon me. Rico from Rock County. Chris is cool, old school like me. I'll take your word for it, Rico. Annie from Watertown. Meanwhile, others got Oscar nominated The War at Home, greatest film on 1960s anti-war and Madison's role in that war. Great to hear from Annie from Watertown. Always love a new texter. Thank you, Annie. All right, so let's not waste any more time. This has been a really fun show, and I am really excited now to welcome a guest who's going to help me close it out. He's an old friend of mine, and he's a phenomenal actor, and I'm just absolutely honored to have him on the show here tonight to help us celebrate one of my favorite shows, the 10-year anniversary of the show Bosch. So it is my privilege to welcome a cast member of Bosch, Scott Claes. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Pete Schwabba, how are you, my friend?
It's so great.
Did I miss the ghost guy? The ghost guy, he's already come and gone. I missed him.
He was on the first hour, and you can get the podcast at civicmedia.us. It was fascinating.
All right, good.
I'm okay. Telling you, you're going to don't listen to it right before you go to bed, though, Scott. We don't need any nightmares. How are you?
You know, I am good. It's kind of wet out here right now.
Yeah.
I'm afraid the house is going to wash away. But, you know, the family's good. Shelly's good. As you know, Pete knows my wife.
Yeah.
You know, she's still teaching at Colfax, the elementary school.
Oh, my gosh. So here's a little background. Scott and I were parents at Colfax Elementary in LA. I ended up being the PTA president. Scott was, and I had to shoot a film that was a literacy film. And the great thing about living in LA was I had actual real actors shooting this little grade school literacy film. And Scott was, you were in both of them. And you know what's funny, Scott? One of those films, one of the parents at the school who had a kid in the movie put the literacy movie on IMDb.
Oh, my word.
Probably. It's check your IMDb. The Disco Principle is on there. And it's because
that's what it was called.
Yeah. Oh, and the other one was Finding Mother Goose. But this guy, I think he wanted his kid to have like an acting credit or something. And I contacted IMDb and I said, you have to take this down. There are real actors here that are in unions. I'm in SAG. I'm in the WGA. This is not a real movie. And they were like, sorry. So it's immortalized.
Right. Only in LA. He's got to get that credit.
Right. Exactly.
How are you? How's Joe? You know, am I allowed to say his name on the radio?
Yeah. No, we're all doing great, Scott. Joe might be headed your way soon. He won a Best Actor award at some LA Film Festival like a year ago. So
that's what I heard.
Yeah, he might be following in your footsteps. So you've definitely been an influence on him. But he's doing great. My daughter's doing great, and we're all doing just fine. We miss you guys, though. We had a lot of fun back in the day.
We did. It made elementary school, you know, first time parents as we were at the time, it made it a lot easier, I got to say.
Yeah. And I have stories that at some point I'll have to share with you off the air, because I think a lot of times we forget things that happened, but, you and I went to a Dodger game once, and Scott, for listeners, has a very recognizable face. You'd see him and go, oh, that guy's an actor. Like, he's that recognizable because he's in a lot of stuff. And we're leaving Dodger Stadium, and this, I don't know if you remember this, Scott, but this guy who was obviously in a gang, really badass looking dude, comes up to us, and I thought we were going to end up throwing down with the guy. I thought we spilled a beer on him or something. And he looks at you and he goes, man, you're my favorite actor. I love your work.
I do remember that.
That was so great. So, and again,
well, I'm happy to hear that you're a fan of the show, man. I didn't know you were a Bosch fan. That's great.
Listen, I found it. I love noir. I love LA cop stories. I love the movies Collateral, LA Confidential. And when I found Bosch, I've seen that actor Titus Welliver. He usually did character work, and I was like, what is this? And I tried it. And then I saw, of course, that you were on it, and I loved that. The show is great. So tell us a little bit for those and I feel like it's not popular enough, Scott. So tell us about Bosch and your experience on it, if you can.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's almost had two lives in a way. There was the pre-COVID and post-COVID. It was always a popular show. across the U.S. in a certain demographic. You know, it's the initially I think it was popular with a lot of older parents and older men. And once COVID hit, it was so strange because everybody was stuck at home and they couldn't go out and they couldn't do anything other than really watch television or do stuff around the house.
Right.
And all these people discovered Bosch because it had, like, at that point, I think 50 or 60 episodes, new content, and our popularity went through the roof. I mean, it was crazy. Where wow. I would get recognized like once or twice a month at the grocery store, all of a sudden, every time I left the house, you know, people were, you can always tell when someone's like, you know, they're in LA, they try to be cool about it. You know, they don't want anybody to know that they think it's cool that somebody's on,
right.
on TV. But you know, for me, I was a Connelly fan long before this thing was ever even a you know, a pilot.
Yeah.
And so to be a part of it and to have all your hopes, like, you know, when you meet someone like Michael Connelly, you hope that he's going to be like a good guy. And man, I tell you, he does not disappoint. He's honestly very soft-spoken, very friendly. I mean, and generous to a fault.
Wow.
And Titus the same way. He really is one of those guys. I asked my manager when I first was offered the role, I said, what do you know about this Titus Welliver guy? I've seen him, you know, like you, I've seen him in, you know, Wise Guy and Lost yeah. and all these things. And I said, you know, what do you know about him? She goes, Scotty, I have to say, I don't know much. She said, all I know is that he has one of the best reputations in town.
Hmm.
I was like, wow, that's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, it's been a great ride. It's been, I've been playing this character for 10 years, you know,
over two shows. Yeah. You had the 7 years of Bosch, seven seasons. Right. And then they did a spinoff and continued the character with Bosch Legacy, which there's two seasons of that. And somehow, you know, Jerry Edgar, Jamie Hector is no longer on the show. They make sporadic appearances, which is cool. But you're on these seasons too. So what a great run for you, man.
Pete, I'll be honest with you, man. You know, when I heard they were spinning it off, I thought I was done. Like, yeah. I just didn't think. I thought, well, you know, they're going to focus on other characters now. It's a new show. It's kind of a new network. I still don't understand the whole freebie thing. It's part of Amazon, but
right.
it's a different, you know, model, I guess. But and so the first season, Mike brought me in for just a couple of them, you know, kind of, I almost thought, like, to say thanks for 7 years on Bosch kind of thing. But then last year, out of the blue, I was like, I had a lot to do. I was in 9 episodes last year, 9 yeah. out of 10 for season 2. And it was like a gift. It's just so much fun. And I worked today. You know, I literally finished wow. episode 2 today. And it was just me and Titus. And how fitting that you reached out, you know. And
yeah.
I didn't even know it was 10 years. Titus mentioned something about it while we were sitting there, kind of on, you know, like an aside almost.
Right.
And then, but like looking back on it now that it's got that 10-year thing behind it, just the fact that I was able to just, you know, have a scene with Titus today was kind of cool.
A phenomenal run. And Titus Welliver plays the title character, Bosch. And Michael, who you mentioned, is Michael Connelly, the writer of the books that the TV shows derive from. Scott, so I have to ask you, Hollywood Station, where you guys film, my yeah. guest, by the way, is Scott Clace. He's a regular on the show Bosch, which you can see on Amazon Prime. Do you guys really shoot? I was there at Hollywood Station a couple times in the years that I lived in LA. Is that a replica or is that actually where you're shooting?
90% of it is a replica.
Okay.
We have shot, I'm not giving anything away because season 2 obviously is already out. That scene in, I think, episode 1, when Bosch is trying to find his daughter in Bosch Legacy season 2, which just recently aired. That was actually in front of the real Hollywood Station.
Okay.
But you're right. It is an exact replica. When yeah. I first got the role, I wasn't quite sure what a watch commander was.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like that heavy set guy that's, you know, an NYPD blue that's like in the lobby when people show up, you know, and he's taking right. names. And all. But that's not what he does at all. And I asked an exec producer if I could go over and spend some time at Hollywood with watch commanders, and they allowed it. So I spent a few days over there. Well, when I show up on the set the first day, I mean, I couldn't believe how accurate it was. I mean, down to the number of, I mean, it was identical. It was crazy. It's funny you say that. Why were you in Hollywood Station, by the way? What did you do?
There was a Colfax. I was there for one. I think I was not bailing a friend.
You were arrested. You can tell. They're not going to care.
It was one of those nights at the Frolic Room, and I had a friend. I had to. No, and then there was a toy drive.
I gotta interrupt you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We literally shot at the Frolic Room today. That's where I was. I've never even been to the Frolic Room.
That's a great bar.
I swear.
I love that place. Right next to the Pantages there. Yeah, I love the Frolic Room.
Yes.
So Scott, we teased this interview earlier in the show with the scene we played from the movie, the audio of when Jerry Edgar gets shot. That's Bosch's partner on the show, played by Jamie Hector. And that's one of my favorite scenes from the whole show, is how the cops maneuver and how they get in there to rescue him, thinking there still could be a sniper. And they put the bulletproof vests in the window and they scoop him up and get him out of there. But when he calls for help, you're the guy that takes the call. It's such a great scene. And you're saying, talk to me, Jerry Edgar, talk to me. Where are you? Right. What a phenomenal, and I'm just gushing as a fan right now, Scott. That's such a great scene.
I'm really happy to hear you say that, because it's actually one of my favorite scenes, really? Too, of my character. Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I'm kind of a little bit of the comic relief, you know, here and there, right. Or, you know, sticking up for Harry or his daughter. But yeah, that scene, and it was directed by, I knew his name was going to fly out of my head, Ernest Dickinson.
Okay.
And he's a great director, and he was so, and we had great technical advisors. So I was saying the right codes and the right, you know, but yeah, I mean, I watch it even now. And I just remember that day, what it felt like to do it. It was not a lot of days you feel like you really did a good job when you leave, but that was one of them.
That was a great episode.
Thanks, man.
So yeah, sure. So what is it like? You got such a great, you got Mimi Rogers is on the show. Jamie Hector and Lance Reddick, who were both on The Wire, phenomenal actors. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, Scott. Like, what was it like working with those such solid cast
folks? I know, and The Wire, I'm sure you feel this way, but it's like easily in my top 10, if not my top 5.
Same.
I just recently rewatched it within the last 3 months. And when I watched Jamie on that show, it's so odd to me that he is actually Jerry Edgar.
Yeah.
And when he plays Marlowe, man, that dude. And Lance, God,
God rest his soul. Yeah, he was great.
Titus just presented an award a couple nights ago. It's called the Lance Reddick Award. And the first one went to Keanu Reeves. And so he did it. Titus was there. But yeah, Lance was, I mean, it sounds trite, but when I say that guy had the best heart, I mean, he was such a kind person. Like whenever you worked with him, I mean, I'm sure he's used to people wanting to talk about him, but he makes it a point to talk about the person he's working with. And I always thought that was such a admirable quality and not at all forced. I mean, he really was that kind of a person.
That's so cool.
Yeah. The cast is great. You know, Mimi's crazy. I love her. She's a little nutty, but she and Maddie, Titus's daughter on the show, just all of them, it's just so easy. Honestly, yeah. After a while, it's like a well-oiled machine, but attitudes, as you well know, Pete, trickle down from the top. And if the top is cool and has little ego to speak of, no one else does either. And it just makes it a lot more pleasant.
All right, we have more coming up with Scott Klase. He is a cast member of Bosch, which celebrates its 10-year anniversary today. We'll have more with Scott Klase coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Did we get hit last night? Dressed up like Elvis. Why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call your mother. Cause no one pointed a crime. Don't be a baby. Remember what you told me. Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. It's fully leaded education talk. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Helping me close out the show tonight is an old friend and a terrific actor named Scott Klase. You can see his work in, well, a ton of stuff, but most recently on Bosch, which you can find on Amazon Prime. Bosch is celebrating its 10th anniversary. Scott, I have to tell you a funny story before we get back into your career. This made me laugh so hard. I don't know if you remember this, and I don't even know if you told me this or it was Rick Hall, but I think it was you that said you had to have a conversation with your agent. You said, and jump in if I'm getting this wrong, but you said, I don't want you to send me on any more of these Kentucky Fried Chicken commercials. I'm tired of them and I don't want them. So you got a call from your agent that said, hey, we hear you. We got it. We just sent you the sides for a spot. And it was a Viagra commercial that Rick Hall had just shot. So they sent you the wrong sides.
Right.
So you laughed about that. And then you said, I think my friend just did this commercial. I think they already shot it. And they said, and then they said, okay, here are the real sides. And it was a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. And your only line was, that's good chicken. Oh God, that's great. So
starting out,
yeah. Yeah. Well, listen,
go
you know,
ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just, you know, the whole process of acting, and this is what I tell my kids because they're kind of interested in that. I'm like, you gotta enjoy every second, like every learning moment, every humiliating moment, every joyous moment. It's all part of the journey, and that is the true joy of this profession. You know, I hung out with two comedy buddies that happened to be in my little town doing fundraisers at separate places. And we went out. It's like a brotherhood, and it's the same way with actors, right? I mean, when you're right. around people you really like and they get you, you just can't beat that.
No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and I've lost some of this. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm a little older now and I've been out here 25 years. But I remember a time, like every time I went out for anything, I was expecting to get it. Mm. And that's just not realistic. But I mean, I almost feel like you have to have that kind of want. And I mean, it was just like, all of it, waiting for the phone to ring, you know, just all those angst filled. But then when it hits, it really hits and, you know, you're loving it. And yeah, I know what you mean, though. You have to breathe it, eat it, love it. Like same for comedy, I'm sure, as you well know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like it's funny because when you're starting out, it's all like a competition. At least it was in the comedian world. Like, oh, so-and-so got up there. So-and-so got Evening at the Improv.
Right.
But when you get older and you get some perspective, like I'm truly happy for any, like when I saw you in Bosch, I'm like, that is so great. No one has earned that more than Scott. I see Jamie McShane, still one of my best friends. Like you guys just like are grinders and you're experiencing unbelievable success now. And it was just a matter of time before the world sees your talent. Right. I mean, that's,
it's funny you bring up Jamie. Jamie's going to make an appearance, this season.
He was on season 4 in Bosch, right?
I know.
Yeah.
Yep. Frank McShane, I think. I can't remember his character's name, but yeah.
Oh, he's so
gonna
great.
Make it a little, I just saw Jamie last week for the first time in a while. Yeah, he's done really well. And you're right. Couldn't have him to a nicer guy.
That's so
and
fun.
A deserving guy.
Well, I miss you guys. Do you have a preference, Scott? Like, you've got movie credits, TV credits. What do you prefer, movies or TV?
You know, when I came out here, and it was really Shelley that made us come out here, I was like 36, and I didn't really have anything. I had a couple of, you know, films that shot on location in Pittsburgh to my name, but no, I didn't know any agents or managers or anything. So I focused on TV because I knew that was easier to do television at that time anyway, than movies. And so I just kind of stuck with it. So for me, it's been really good. But yeah, I wish I could have done a few more movies. I'm not going to lie. You know, I missed out on some of those big time casting directors for features, like, you know, Holly Finn and, you know, just those names you always see in the credits for, you know, the big movies. But right. That's, and you know what, if that's the worst thing that happens to me in my life, I think I'm going to be all right.
Yeah, I think you're doing okay. I have one more quick question for you, Scott. Longmire, you were on that show I saw on IMDb. That's kind of a show that I think people could find. I really enjoyed that series.
Yeah, we shot that in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Yeah, and I had not really seen the show before, but I became a fan after I was there and met some of, you know, Lou Diamond Phillips, you know, was obviously on that show. And that's kind of another show that's got its own little following and kind of had a renaissance on Netflix afterwards.
That's so cool. Well, hey, Scott, I cannot thank you enough. I honestly, I've been meaning to reach out to you, and then I saw the Bosch thing today. Never expecting you could juggle your schedule or whatever and come on tonight, but I just thought this is a good excuse to at least reach out to Scott and get the ball rolling and have you on at some point. But I appreciate you jumping on so fast. This is really fun.
It's great to see your face, Petey. It really is. And you know what? We're going to have to talk off air in the next week or so just to really catch up and
definitely
use four-letter words and, you know, talk about all kinds of things. But I wish you all the success in the world. And really, thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. We'll watch you on the next season. Keep up the great work. Right. And yeah, let's talk soon.
Mayor.
Yeah, likewise. Say hi to the family. Thanks so much, Scott.
All right. Take care,
Petey. All right. That's Scott Klase from the TV show Bosch. This has been a fun show. We talked some ghosts. We talked some Bosch. It's the 10-year anniversary. And I'm telling you, if you have not, if you're a fan of cop shows or just good TV writing and acting and shows that are beautifully shot, check out Bosch. It's on Amazon Prime. That's one of my shows. And I meant to ask Scott what he was watching, because that's what I have to be better. That's what we do here. We give suggestions. Conrad, you watch anything lately?
This past weekend I watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
On Amazon Prime. And I really enjoyed it. It was a fun series. A lot of action. It had a little romance in it, too. I enjoyed it. It's
very
a great watch.
Cool. Okay. Well, there you go. So we did get a suggestion tonight. And
well, also you got to watch Haunted State.
Haunted State. That's on my list now, dude. This was just a fun show. I'd like to thank all my guests. Todd Michaels was here talking about ghosts. He's the producer of Mino and the Mayor. If you haven't caught that show yet, check it out here on WGBW in the mornings. Chris Opper from the Door County Short Film Festival talked about what they have coming up. That film festival is next week, and we'll have a guy on the show tomorrow, John Bezek, who will have he's got a film in the festival. We'll talk to him. Also, syndicated columnist Greg Schwem is here tomorrow night. So, and also a big thank you to Scott Klase and all your texts. So much fun tonight. We have so much fun here on Nightlight, don't we, Conrad?
We really do. Yeah. We have a great audience.
It's fun. Fun to interact. So we will see you tomorrow night. I'm Pete Schwab. This has been Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
navigating, without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.